Well, it is May baseball, our second month of the season coming up as we start. The Giants lose last night 6-2. They will face Joe Musgrove today. It is Kevin Gausman and Joe Musgrove. Gausman is pitching great for the Giants, and Musgrove had that no-hitter for the Padres. So, interesting matchup today. Good morning, Bruce Jenkins. How are you?
Doing well, Marty. How's it going?
Good. This is an interesting matchup today. It was just announced, I guess, that Musgrove is pitching for the Padres today against Gausman. This is a nice Sunday. You know, I love Sunday baseball. Let me digress for a second. I love Sunday baseball. It's the aces would go on Sunday, and we kind of have that game today.
Yeah, definitely. It's two guys who take no-hit stuff out there, which we've seen from Musgrove, literally. And, you know, Gausman's splitter has been the talk of the National League. So, yeah, I mean, and of course it'll be 9-8 in the third.
Really? That's the truth, isn't it?
But yeah.
I will say this about baseball yesterday. 15 games, there were 41 home runs yesterday, and they averaged 11.3 runs per game. This is a big deal, and they slugged .417 yesterday. Now, I know we go back and forth on the state of baseball, but yesterday I think was a good example. Not a lot of batting average, .252, but 41 home runs led to 11.3 runs per game. The home run is still the prevalent way to score.
Yeah, and it's going to stay that way for a while. I mean, it's hard to say that a home run is worse, you know, than anything. Although, you know, we'd like to see a little bit of balance. But, you know, the thing is, you know, we get upset with the trends, and there are weeks where it looks like, geez, you know, everybody's striking out and not enough runs or scoring and all that. But then you get another week where it kind of changes. So, I mean, there's no absolutes in the game, which is why we love it. You know, it's you really can't forecast what's going to be coming down the road. And, you know, thank goodness, it would be kind of tedious if that were the case.
What did you think of Blake Snell last night?
Well, it's typical Blake Snell. He had really good stuff, and it was a frustrating outing. You know, I mean, when it got to the fourth and the fifth, when, you know, he's been so frustrated about being taken out of the games, he threw some great pitches, but he threw too many pitches. I was more impressed with DeSclafani. I mean, he hangs a curve to Machado in the first inning, and he's a three-run homer. He hangs a slider to Tommy Pham, almost knocked down the left field wall in the second inning. I'm thinking, man, he just doesn't have it. But all of a sudden, you know, he throws a much better breaking ball and gets Machado in the third, grounds out. He was still in there in the sixth, and he got Tatis to tap one back just off the mound. He makes a nice play. So that was really encouraging. And I loved how Kepler let DeSclafani hit for himself when they're down 3-1 in the fifth. He was 0-for-12 at the time on the season, but he works the count to 3-2 and stings a ball up the middle. It goes off the pitcher, and I guess they called it an error. But
ridiculous, yeah.
I love that because Kruko and Kiper, they don't even acknowledge it. Kruko goes, well, I'm not changing it. You know, they got their own scorecards that they keep track of. That's a hit. That's I'm not changing it. I don't care what they call it. I love that.
That was ridiculous. Yeah, the ball went off Snell's leg, and the second base, Cronenworth, came in and couldn't handle it, and it was at full speed, and they gave the guy – gave.
Yeah,
especially
plus the ball was really hit hard. Yeah. I mean, good for DeSclafani there. So, he came out of it a lot better than Snell, I think, even though the scoreboard, you know, said differently in the end.
Yeah, they're going to need Snell at some point in this pennant race. And, Bruce, you know, this was not a – let's take him out in the fifth inning, you know, this and that. He deserved to be taken out. I mean, you got to that fourth or fifth inning, he looked like a different pitcher. His stuff is great, but his stuff is all over the place. He doesn't know where it's going, and that gets him into trouble.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a Greg Maddux kind of thinking man's pitcher out there, but they're going to need him to beat the Dodgers with seven innings, and you know, if he's going to leave the game, he's up 3-1 after seven. You know, that's what they need from him. They don't need any of this mid-game departure stuff. I mean, they've got a heck of a bullpen. I mean, my goodness, Adams and Pagan strike out the side, each of them in the seventh and eighth, and then they got Melanson to finish the games with that bizarre stuff he's throwing up there, and they have Pomerantz. So it's not that they're hurting in the bullpen at all, but it's just common sense that a guy with that kind of stuff gets a little more rope, but he's got to deserve it. He's got to earn it.
Giants are still in first place. The Dodgers lost a crazy game last night, 2 in the top of the 11th, and Brewers came back with 3 to win the game. But the big news is, and Dodgers are in trouble, Bruce, these injuries are starting to mount up for them now. It's very early in the season. But Dustin May left last night. He's going to get an MRI tomorrow, and they've already purchased the contract of former Giant Mike Kickham.
Oh, my goodness.
Dodgers lose Dustin May. How about that?
Yeah, well, I could be William Van Landingham. Could be worse, I guess. But,
Mike Kickham.
Yeah, I refuse to say they're in trouble, although all the signs are there. I just think at the end of the month it might look different, but, you know, that things are adding up against them. They're not hitting in the clutch. They don't really have their closing relief completely settled yet. Some of the big names aren't hitting, and then, you know, the injuries, as you say, that, you know, Dustin May, that's not a good one. He's got phenomenal stuff, and he looked pretty good last night. But you could tell before that, before he had to leave, didn't look terribly comfortable. Something was building in there. So I mean, you know, good. I mean, the Giants need the Dodgers to be in trouble. They need them to be struggling. They need it like oxygen. And, you know, the Padres might wind up with a 4 or 5 game lead if this continues.
Well, it's going to be an interesting month of May. Only the second month of the season. We have to adjust our sights here. This is not last year with the 60-game season. We're going to be talking about this in September, and this is what a baseball season's all about. Looking at the Giants a little bit, Bruce, Posey 359, Longoria 284. They walked him 3 times, I think, last night and pitched around him. At some point, and I realize Yastrzemski's out and Solano's out, and they're two productive hitters, but at some point, some of these other people have got to pick it up, and I'm talking about Slater and even Ruff and Belt and Flores and Dubon and LaStella. At some point, the veterans need a little bit of help.
No, without question. And all those guys you mentioned, you know, you can't really count on them being around 290 or 310 in a couple of months. I mean, you know, Dubon, it looks great. I mean, he had some tough luck early on. His average was terrible, but he was hitting the ball pretty good. But last night he jumped on a fastball from Snell and jacked it out. Had a nice game at shortstop, too. LaStella looks kind of lost right now. I think he's like something like 3 for 26. And you don't think that continues, which with all these guys. I mean, Flores is a better hitter, I think, than he's shown overall. Posey has shown enough. Posey hit a – this always bugs me, Marty. He hit a ball right up the middle, okay? Base hit, here we go. And then there's a shift. Shift was there. Cronenworth standing there, and he throws him out. I mean, of course it's a good idea, a good shift. That just bugs the hell out of me when somebody does something as fundamentally sound and should be rewarding as a hard-hit ball up the middle, and there's somebody standing there.
Well, you've been taught your whole life to take them when you want to get hit, hit the ball up the middle your
exactly.
whole life. And look, he's a 34-year-old pro, whatever it is, going to be a Hall of Famer. And you're right. He did what he's been taught his whole life. And there's Cronenworth standing there. Really?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and baseball sees it, and it's an entertainment game. And my feeling is they will do something about the shift. I think they will do it. I really do.
I think so, too. It hurts the game's entertainment value.
Yes, yes.
And that's a kind of a bottom-line argument for me. I mean, I certainly wouldn't mind it. I always think in all sports you should be able to play any defense you want. But, you know, in this case, it's just you know, the left-handed full hitters who don't run that well are really, really hurting. You know, Jay Bruce retired recently, and then – it was said that the shift kind of did him in. Now, he'd been around for a long time. He had a nice career, but he reached a point where he just, you know, you can tell a guy like that, you know, go to left field, but that's not him.
No.
He's not a soft single to left or a bunt single down the line. He's a double up the alley, you know, a sharp single through the infield. And you take all that away, I think it hurts the game. It hurts the fans' enjoyment of the game.
Well, it does. There's no question about it. And it takes away rallies. And it takes away hits and runs and steals and going first to third and all that. And that's what they realize that they want to have back. Ron Wotus did an interesting thing last night, Bruce, and they commented it on the Padre broadcast. And that is the umpire was getting into a chirping contest with the Giants bench. And Wo got in the line of sight of the third base umpire. so he couldn't see in the dugout to see who was yelling at him.
What a veteran move.
Well, yeah, I thought it was great. There was a very quick story. It was a late – remember Dario Lodigiani?
And yeah, North Beach guy.
Yeah, yeah, a wonderful man, and played in the big leagues, and he played in the early 40s and was a coach in the 40s mm-hmm. for the White Sox. And he told me that – I forget the umpire's name. I want to say Jones, perhaps, but he got into such a beef with the White Sox bench, and he couldn't tell who was yelling at him, mm-hmm. that he kicked the whole bench out and made him go into the clubhouse, and they could come out one by one if they were needed in the game.
Oh, jeez. Great baseball story there, huh?
Yeah, it made me think of that last night.
Get well, out of here, latest, a lot of you. You're gone.
All of you, go in yeah. the clubhouse. You can't be here anymore. That was it. So, I love it. That's baseball. All right.
Yeah.
The Pioneer League, of course, you know, they did away with so many minor league teams, and now baseball runs all these minor leagues. Well, the Pioneer League has come up with a new idea for extra innings. They don't want to put their runner on second. They want to have a home run derby. And each team will pick one player and gets five pitches, and whoever hits the most home runs wins the game.
Well, it works once, okay? What if you have an extra inning game the next night and the night after that? It turns into a home run derby fest, and everybody's leaving during it. You know, that's a terrible idea. It's terrible on every level. I mean, it may not even work once for me. I mean, what the hell? Where'd the game go, you know?
Well, that's the latest.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've done away with so many minor league cities and also sort of the names of the leagues, too. And this is going to be weird. Minor league baseball starts on Monday. This is going to be different to get results and see players playing in the minor leagues. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, well, it's John Shea published a list of who's going to go where. And in the Giants' case, I think it's really interesting. I mean, you know, Triple A's are going to have Joey Bart there, but I mean, you go all the way down to Low A San Jose. You're talking about Luciano and these great outfield prospects, Canario and Luis Matos and Luis Toribio, an infielder that they really like. And, you know, that's a pretty loaded group for low A. And then you get up to Eugene, they're going to have Patrick Bailey and Hunter Bishop and Will Wilson. These are all guys I would love to see. I mean, I just wish, you know, we're in such a modern age that there would be some kind of streamlined process where somebody, all they're doing is they're filming the games and they're putting together highlight packages, and you wake up in the morning, you can see a highlight package of all your teams and what they did last night, you know, nicely packaged. It should not be that hard to do. Somebody's going to do it, and I think that would be a great thing.
That's a good idea for Mario Alioto.
Yeah.
You know, to do that for the Giants, I think it would be a great way to do it. By the way, Giant tickets are on sale. I got a text from Mario yesterday. For all the home games through the Dodger series in May, and now, Bruce, you've seen it. Now they have a fully vaccinated section and a socially distant section and all that. The Giants have done this really well, and now they're going to get the okay to expand it a little bit too. You think attendance is going to pick up quickly?
I'm not so sure. I think, you know, this thing is obviously not over, you know, and I'm fully vaccinated, and so is my wife. We haven't changed our behavior at all because, you know, the way variants are spreading around. We have a daughter up in Oregon at school there. There's a total surge going on up there, and also the state of Washington. The variants are a wild card, and, you know, it's not so much a matter of you're going to get sick and die maybe if you've been vaccinated, but you're still vulnerable to, you know, getting infected and carrying it, or maybe even getting it. I mean, there's nothing's 100%. So, I mean, I wouldn't be rushing out there. I'm certainly not going to sit in a ballpark and wear a mask the whole time. I did that on a 5-hour flight to Hawaii. I mean, that's a big drag wearing a mask for a long period of time. And that's not baseball to me. I think a lot of people are going to feel that way. But then again, you know, it's great that they are letting people in. There's going to be some enthusiasm. And even if it's 8 or 10,000, that makes a huge difference for the players, for your soundtrack, watching at home. There's nothing more artificial. But I do think there's going to be a reluctance among a lot of fans to just not go rushing out there.
Well, we'll see. California is different than Texas and other places, so we'll have to see how Northern California adjusts with it. But there are the fully vaccinated sections, and the Giants are doing everything they can, sfgiants.com, to get that word out that things are happening. So we'll see. But it's good baseball. I'll tell you one thing. It's a good month of baseball for the Giants coming up. They've got 7 games with the Dodgers, another 4, of course, with the Padres. And then there's the teams they should handle, the Cincinnati's and the Pittsburghs and the Texases and teams like that. I think when May is done, Bruce, I'll go out on the limb. I think the Giants are still going to be in excellent shape at the end of May.
Very possible. Let's hope that that limb doesn't snap.
Now,
we don't want you to hurt yourself if you tumble to the ground.
Well, I'm on it. I'm out there.
But, I love it. Because you've seen enough to believe that that's entirely possible. I totally agree with that. I mean, to me, a team like Cincinnati or Pittsburgh, those are dangerous teams. You know, they may not have complete rosters, but, you know, they hit and they can scare the heck out of you. I mean, what the Giants saw from the Marlins, I thought was really instructive as to just the general strength of the National League. I mean, my goodness, they send up some badass hitters up there, you know, and you got to deal with it. So it's all good. I'm especially glad that the schedule has opened up to where you're playing these teams, you know, it's where you don't go a whole season without seeing the Cubs, or you don't go to, you know, St. Louis or whatever it is. It's starting to sound a lot more like a real season. It should be really interesting.
Well, it should be, because these are road games. You know, there's 3 in Colorado. You got to go to Cincinnati for 4, Pittsburgh, and, you know, teams like that. So, but when you pitch the way they pitch, and as I said earlier to you, at some point they got a hit, you know, but the pitching really has – this is a year of the overall league hitting is not that good, and if you can pitch like this, you can hang in there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, every guy in the rotation – has shown so much promise, and now you expect a good outing from every single one of them. How many teams can say that? Maybe not even the Dodgers. So that's a huge plus. And you know, we'll see how the minor leagues develop some of these guys like Jelly and Seth Corey, and, you know, all the way to Kyle Harrison. I mean, they've got some arms that are kind of looming, and Tyler Beattie's out there looming. So I think the pitching, I mean, it's so important. And, you know, the bullpen is a little bit unsettled, but I think, you know, with Rogers and McGee there, they've got something there, and then they got to figure the rest of it out.
Yep. And it's early. It's early in the season. You know, so we're going to be talking about this whole scenario of the schedule and the road games and for many months. So
yeah.
we got a long way to go. The last thing I'll mention on this subject, on the minor leagues, the Giants have stacked the teams with excellent players, as you point out. Even Ramos is with the Richmond Flying Squirrels.
Yeah.
And, Branch Rickey used to do this with the Dodgers, and he would put players in minor leagues where they were too good, and they'd have amazing numbers, and then he would trade them or sell them for enormous amounts of money or to get players. Chico Carrasquel, it comes to mind just quickly for me, Billy Hunter. And that's what they do. And I wonder if the Giants are doing that a little bit, just to beef up the PR of the farm system, too, of putting them in the leagues where maybe that they're better than the league should be.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case with Luciano. He looked a little overmatched when he came up. You see clips of him, recently in sort of workout games, and he's raking, and he's a player, and he's a guy in that category where you could get an awful lot for him. There's no way they would do that. But, I mean, here's a guy at low A who's probably their best prospect, and it creates a lot of buzz. I mean, guys like Canario and Matos, you know, who knows? Maybe they show they've got a little bit of value. Maybe the organization doesn't see them coming all the way to the bigs, but meanwhile they're hitting .370 against low A.
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Branch Rickey did it. He made a science of it. So we'll see. They need so many players at the big league level over the next 2 years that they can't do too much of that, because this crop that's here now in 2 years probably will not be here. I mean, the veterans who are here now. So they need the minor league system to produce. Bill, I'm talking a lot about the schedule of May and where this ball club is right now. How do you think May's going to play out?
I think you're going to start seeing what the Giants are going to be made of. I mean, we're seeing it today, and with Gausman on the hill against Musgrove, I think they pushed Musgrove in to try to take three games from the Giants. I mean, he's been pitching really well for them. But I'm right there with you. I think there's loopholes where there's some lighter teams that they have to beat, and then there's going to be some head-to-heads with the Padres and the Dodgers. So it's going to be an interesting month of May. No doubt about it. And I think right now the Giants need to win this game. It's not a must win, but in my eyes, I really believe they need to win somehow today.
That would be nice. And I mean, the history of the game says that, if you're not, maybe you're not hitting at home. I think they haven't scored more than three runs at home yet. That's a stat that came up. But, you go on the road in some hitters' parks, the weather's warm, you get the bats heated up. There's a long history. I mean, all teams have enjoyed that over the years. The Giants certainly have. So I don't think going on the road is going to be any kind of deterrent to the hitters. It might even help them. Who knows? It's not like they're going to be facing, 56,000 screaming fans quite yet.
I'd like to ask both of you a question. I follow on Twitter, and I'm sure both of you guys do it, at Ump Scorecards. And what they do is they look at home plate umpires, and they really judge how many pitches they miss, how many pitches they are good at. And lately, last couple of years, it's 96, 98%, some are 99%. But this year, I'm starting to see under 90%, where it's 85%, 86%, and they show all the pitches that these umpires miss. And my question to both of you, what can Major League Baseball do to get these umpires to concentrate a little bit more? Because there's so much analytics out there, and I'm not looking at the computer umpire zone. I'm looking at what these umpires can do to be more solid behind the plate. Bruce, you first.
Well, I mean, the problem is that, each umpire is allowed to interpret it as he wants. Every night, Mike Kruko, before the game, will say, well, this guy doesn't really call the low strike. But then again, as the game goes on, he might give you that, stuff like that. And then the next umpire, totally different. And this is the way they call the games. I mean, you can tell an umpire, just like they tell umpires to, tell that hitter to stay in the box or tell the pitcher to move it along. But they really don't. They don't do that because they've got their habits. So, I mean, one solution is computerized umpiring. But, oh, my God, that opens a big can. But now everybody's, it's kind of out of their hands. It's in the hands of a computer, which is pretty scary. It would take care of this problem. I mean, Mark Melanson would go crazy if all of a sudden all these pitches aren't being called strikes. I don't know, Bill. I mean, I'm all for a veteran guy getting a few breaks because he's been around and he's pinpointing it so good that even if it's an inch or two outside, he's going to get the call. But it has been a little bit. The Giants have noticed recently they've been kind of robbed, maybe a little too often. And the answer to me, it's really, really tough because you're dealing with a bunch of individuals, and to get them all on the same page and have guys change their habits is easier said than done.
Well, look what fuels this discussion, and that is the box on TV.
Yes.
Get rid of the box.
Oh, totally. Totally
get rid of the box.
Yeah.
If that box is so accurate, then use that box to call balls and strikes.
Yeah.
But get rid of the box.
It's totally annoying I'm sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say it's annoying to have it in your way as you watch the pitch, if for a replay maybe, but not live action.
Well, if I'm looking at the box and it looks like the ball is, who can tell on your TV? I mean, touching the box slightly, you say, all right, maybe it was a strike. But you're now umpiring with a box on TV as opposed to your eyes of just watching where a ball is and you get an idea of what's a ball and what's a strike. So I think that's one of the biggest problems is the box on TV.
Yeah, and I think, watching Melanson the other night, I mean, without the box, you're going, oh, man, this guy is totally nailing the corners, and it looks a lot more believable in that sense because you know who he is and what his reputation is. He's doing his thing, and he deserves a few breaks, as opposed to a guy who's just wild as a March hare and can't find the plate. You don't give him much,
And if the box is so accurate, then use that for balls and strikes.
Yeah, no kidding.
If that's it.
And, all right. Years back, Marty and Bruce, you guys both know this, when the umpires were switched, when it was all National League umpires and all American League umpires, you got to know the zones. You got to know
right.
where Lee Weyer would edge the zone or Ed Montague would give you a low pitch. With his umpire crew, they've changed him so much, and some of those umpires look like they're high school age. I mean, a couple of these guys, I'm like, how old is this guy? You know, because
I mean,
they really do look really young, and I would like to know a little more experience on them. How many times have they been in the umpire, you know, class when they go through the minor leagues and things like that? And I just think they need to look at this umpire behind home plate and have him concentrate a little bit more. You saw it in one of the games where somebody was calling timeout, and he gave him timeout. Next time he called timeout, he gave him the pitch. So, you know, what yeah. what are you doing right? What are you doing wrong? And
exactly.
I think it's got to be more consistent.
See,
boy,
here's
okay.
the thing. Yeah. Go ahead,
go
Bruce.
Ahead.
Yeah, no,
I was
going to
say, somewhere Nestor Shylock and Doug Harvey are having an animated conversation.
Well, Bill, the answer to this is that you're getting older. And that's the difference. And
I don't know about Bill. I know I am.
Yeah, you're getting older, and you're looking at these people and saying, God, they look like high school people. And they're 30 years old or 35 years old.
Yeah.
I went through this years ago. I did a case, and I had to go to see a witness at the University of North Carolina. And it was summertime, and I went there, and they were doing freshman orientation. And I turned to my friend Michael Gaines, and I said, gee, why do they have eighth graders here today? And he said, no, those are college students. I said, oh, really? And I realized, yes, I had gotten older. So
yes.
I think
point,
that's
Marty.
A story.
That's a very valid point.
Yeah.
The guy's 40 years old, Marty.
Really? Who knows? All right. We settled the world today. That's good.
But we did. Yeah, we did. Took care of many, many problems.
All right. Well, we'll see. Joe Musgrove and Gausman. Gausman is 8,000-1 to win the Cy Young. I think I'm going to go to Las Vegas.
Take it. Absolutely.
Come
yeah.
on. Yeah, he's,
why not?
He's been, yeah, and Musgrove, let me tell you, on the other side, and Bill, you'll go through the numbers, but when you do the talk back today, right, he's 4-for-37 off of Musgrove. Is that right, Bill?
Yeah, I got the same thing. I'm looking at the same thing. It's he's been on fire the last couple of games. Of course, the no-hitter against Texas and then against Arizona, he put six more shutout innings in. So he doesn't walk too many guys. He's only walked three guys this whole year, or five guys, I'm sorry. Five guys, 41 strikeouts. Mm. So he's around the plate, and that's why you got to be aggressive. And Listella's leading off, and I know you guys touched a little bit about Listella. He just doesn't look like the same guy we watched last year with Oakland and the Angels. He just looks subtle. He just doesn't have that good flick of the bat. And I would have loved to seen Talkman lead off. I really do.
I
think that's a
possibility. I was going to mention that. He probably plays somewhere today, right?
Yeah, he's hitting second today.
Yeah, I'd like to see a change. I'd like to see Talkman lead off. I think he's a pretty good leadoff hitter. He's got a good eye. He's aggressive, and he hits all parts of the field.
Yep.
I like it.
That may happen. Well, Bruce, have a great day, and we'll see you next weekend. Padres in town next weekend. Thank you.
You guys take care. Thanks.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, that is Bruce Jenkins. Boy. Interesting, we settled the world this morning, didn't we?
Well, it's good talk baseball, and that's what I love listening to. When you guys start going, I got questions lined up. And, you know, I watched this scorecard thing, Marty, and this year's the first time I'm seeing stuff 88%, 85%. And, sure, that's still a good grade, but these are major league umpires, and they should be above 95%.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. You know, we'll see how they deal with it. But I agree with you, and I go by the box. And if the ball is outside the box, it's being called a strike.
And you never see the box adjust to the height of the hitter. That's the other thing. It seems like the box is on little guys as well as the big guys.
I'm telling you, the box is the issue. Get rid of the box. That's the issue.
True.
All right, we've got Bob Luke coming up next. Bill, you're going to enjoy this. He wrote a book called The Most Famous Woman in Baseball. It's about Effa Manley, and that's all I'll tell you. But why do you hear this story? So he's coming up, and then Kerry, you and I'll chat, and Kerry's got Sarah Lang coming up. Mark Sanchez is going to join us, Nick Pecoro of the Arizona Republic. So a lot more to go on this Sunday morning. We'll get to it right after this.